Hello. All right. Good morning. All right. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day and this time that we can get together, Lord, and open up your word and worship you. We are forgetful people, Lord, and if we didn't have this day set apart to remember you, Lord, we would surely forget all the blessings that you've given to us. And we just love you and again, just thankful for this time that we can have. Lord, I just pray for the message today, Lord, that whatever is not from you, Lord, it might be struck away from people's minds, and that what is from you, Lord, that is remembered and might be a blessing to people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, happy 4th of July, a little bit belated, okay? Hopefully everybody's 4th of July went off with a bang, all right, and that'd be good. But maybe when the fireworks were going off, you got a little bit nervous, okay? And maybe you got a little bit anxious, all right? I did not. I thought it was a lot of fun. Taylin did get a little bit worried as I was running away from the mortars. So, you know, it was a little harrowing at times. But that is what I want to be speaking on for you today, is anxiety, anxiousness, worry. And that's what I'd like to go through with you folks. And we live in very anxiety-inducing times, right? There's a lot of stuff going on in the world nowadays that can definitely cause you to have your blood pressure raise a little bit, have your blood pressure kind of go up, especially if you watch the news. So to that, I would say, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in those things. And then even in the everyday life, right? In the everyday life, it's very easy to have that anxiety kind of creep up and kind of catch you a little bit. You don't necessarily realize it until you're sitting down and you're really thinking about it. And so you can kind of go through it, and as you get older, you tend to get more and more anxiety, right? You tend to pick up more things that cause you to worry and have concerns. Early on, it might just be tests. Early on, it might be you're just kind of worried about what's going to be happening to the next weekend, and you don't necessarily have a lot of worries or concerns. But then you start maybe having to worry about college, and then maybe you have to start worrying about those tests in college. Then everybody's asking you, what are you going to do for a career? Then everybody's talking about, you know, what are you going to do once you get graduated? Then you get a job. Then you get responsibilities with that job. Then all of a sudden, maybe you pick up a wife or a husband, and all of a sudden you have to worry about them a little bit more, and that responsibility gets thrown on you. By the way, there's family responsibilities, all right? And if you pick up a wife, you pick up those family responsibilities. And then maybe you throw a kid in the mix, okay? And then that kid kind of starts to grow up a little bit. It starts to get a little bit stressful there. And then your career advances a little bit more, and you maybe get a promotion. Maybe you get a little bit more responsibility there. And then after that, maybe you pick up another aunt, or maybe you could pick up an aunt, I guess. You never know. But you pick up another child, okay? But that first child starts walking and starts having a weird obsession with fire, okay? And so that adds more stress for you, all right? And so then, you know, you can think of a myriad of things, and you keep just adding them on, and there's more and more stresses that can definitely happen into our lives as we age. But there is a reason why the Bible has about 120-ish verses on stress and anxiety and worry. Because the Lord understands us. The Lord knows that we're going to go through things that are going to cause us anxiety, and it's going to cause us to have concerns. So again, there's a lot of things that can cause us anxiety. Like when your aunt comes behind you and starts bobbing up and down like a Mexican jumping bean, and you're just kind of like, what's going on right now? Then you realize it's part of the song, so it's all good. But there's a lot of things that can definitely cause us anxiety. And just a few verses just right off the top. We're going to be going kind of hopping around a little bit, so if you want to go to these, you can. But Psalms 56, 3 through 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. And you could go to all 120 of the verses, okay? And you can read every single one. We're not going to do that. I could do that. It would make this message a whole lot easier. But we're not going to do that. And if you were there on Wednesday night, we covered that verse and covered it very well. But that's really what spurred on this idea of talking about anxiety. And so, you know, our circumstances may be different, right? Our circumstances may have, be different from someone else. But really what I want to do is what causes us anxiety? What is the root cause of anxiety, right? Because there's a lot of problems and there's a lot of different things out there that can give us grief. But what's that root cause, that root issue that is really causing us to worry? And really, it's our circumstances and when we don't feel we're in control or have a locus of control of our circumstances. And you can think about it, and if it was finances, then America should be the least anxious country in the world because we are the richest country to have ever existed. Yet, we have quite a bit of anxiety in this country. If it was safety, we are the safest country to have ever existed, all right? Unless you live in Chicago. Then you can be anxious. No. But we are the safest country to ever exist. And so it's not safety. If it was knowledge, then the entire world would be the least anxious that it's ever been. We have the internet at our fingertips. You can know anything for anything in seconds. So it's not knowledge. It's not a lack of knowledge that causes us anxiety. You know, we sit there and we can look and, you know, we would think that the United States, we don't have a lot to be a whole lot anxious for. But we, in fact, are the most anxious country in, according to statistics. We're the most anxious country on the planet right now. 25% of women in the U.S. have a diagnosis of clinical depression or anxiety, okay? You can talk to me later whether I think that's overdiagnosed, but regardless, that's a lot of people, all right? If you are a teen girl in the United States, there is a 1 in 5 chance that you are on some anti-anxiety medication. If you are a male, if you look at the suicide rates, 83% of all suicides are committed by men due to anxiety, depression, or concerns. So what is it? We are the wealthiest, most knowledgeable, safest country to ever exist, yet we seem to be at our most depressed, anxious state we've ever been in. And I would argue that it is a feeling and a feeling of a lack of control or uncertainty due to the lack of control people feel in this life. And obviously, that lack of certainty, that lack of control that they feel in that life is due to not having a trust in the Father, right? Not having a feeling of trust or a knowing that things will turn out for the best due to the lack of love and the lack of faith that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. People, we try really hard to get advantages in life, right? We try really hard to get some sort of extra control in our life. We try really hard to make sure things turn out good for us. Yet, you know, it doesn't always work out. It doesn't always seem to make us feel any better about how things are going, right? You know, I can think of a lot of times people at work feel like if they just get a promotion, that anxiety is going to get better, right? A lot of people think that if I just move to this place, I'm going to be so much happier. Yet, the anxiety doesn't go away. The anxiety is still there. Turn with me to Matthew 6, 25. We try really hard to worry about things and really hard to kind of keep them in our locus of control and try and keep them in our own hands. And we worry about a lot of things in this life. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? 26, verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But ye seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And in trying to make sure everything works out, and trying to make sure that we have this thing set up, this plan is okay, this thing happened, we need to make sure that everything is just so. We try to hold on to everything. We cause ourselves undue stress and undue anxiety. And what does the Lord say? He will take care of it. He will provide our needs. He is going to make sure that it will turn out. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, Duncan, I don't feel control. I feel like everything's actually out of control. We'll get to that, all right? But regardless, the same point stands is that the lack of control that we feel or the control that we try to impose on our life is often the root cause of what gives us anxiety. So what's the result of having anxiousness, though? What happens when we are anxious? Well, we make bad decisions. Turn with me to Genesis 12:10. It's the story of Abraham. The Lord's just sent Abraham out, right? He's told him that he's going to give him a promise. And so Abraham's on his travels, and he's going through Egypt. Genesis 12:10, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entered Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maidservants and the she-asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, She is my sister? For I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had." When we're anxious and we try to take things into our own control about problems that we think we might have or we do have, we try to do it in our own strength, in our own way, in our own cunning. And oftentimes, it does not work out. We have Abram here, who thinks his wife, Sarah, was a looker, okay? And so he was concerned that the Egyptians were going to kill him because she was attractive and they were going to take her for a wife. And so what's he do? He lies. He develops a plan to try, and in his own wisdom, to try and kind of sneak by this. That way they won't kill him out of fear, right? He tries to control the situation in his own might. And what happens? Not only does he lose his wife, but he also causes problems for those around him, right? He causes problems for the Egyptians by doing this. So not only when we let anxiety cause us to make dumb decisions, stupid decisions, not only affects us, it affects those around us as well. So again, we often try to do these things because we're scared, right? We have outcomes in our life that we want to happen, right? There are certain things that we desire in our life to happen. We want those things. Where does that feeling come from? Obviously, that comes from a source of pride, right? That comes from a pride, a desire to have things that we want, have things our way, have things the way that we want them to be. And so we try to control the situations and guide them into that spot that we think we should be at. So like I said before, you might be sitting there saying, well, Duncan, I'm not trying to control anything. Things are just happening to me. It's spinning, all right? There's one thing over here. There's another thing over there. They're all just happening to me. Maybe you're not trying to control anything. Maybe you feel like everything is just hitting you. You're getting hit with the punches. To that, let's go to 1 Kings 19. This is when Elijah was just coming down, I believe, yeah. Elijah is basically going to be on the run from Jezebel here. Jezebel is upset with him after all that he had done with, I believe, the mount. So starting at verse 1, 1 Kings 19, and Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done and with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, and he went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came at down unto a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a curse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the winds. And after the wind, with an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped up his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and says, what doest thou here, Elijah? And you can read on, and the Lord speaks to him and basically comforts him and tells him what to do. But in this same manner, when everything around us seems against us, Elijah, he said it, right? The children of Israel had forsaken the Lord. They were out for his life. There was no one, he felt he was alone. There was no one but him. And that's often how it feels, right? When everything's happening to us and everything's swirling around us, you feel like you're underwater. You feel like you can't breathe. And in those moments, you look for signs, right? You run away. You don't want to have to deal with any of it. You flee, because what else is there to do? You can't fight it. And you can't. That's an okay thing. We'll get to that. But you run. And along the way, what a blessing. The Lord will give you strength. The Lord will touch you on the shoulder. The Lord will give you morsels of strength to help you get through that, just as he did Elijah here. And he will speak to you, and he will come to you. So with anxiety, we tend to try and deal with it two ways, right? We try to control everything. Try to control everything, right? Every little thing we try to maintain our control over, because we need it to turn out the way that we want it to turn out. because we're the best ones to control it. Or we run away from everything, and we don't address a thing, and we just let those problems sit and sit and sit, and we run away from them. So what's the answer to this? What's the correct view about how we should be feeling? In both scenarios, it's that you do not have the proper perspective of God. We do not have the proper perspective of God in our life. For those who think that if you control everything and it's just going to solve all your problems, and if we control every little detail and that's going to solve all our issues, and that that's going to eventually somehow take care of our anxiety, it won't. Let's turn to Job 38. Job was perfect. Job was somebody who, if you want to talk about someone who nailed it in life, he did everything right, controlled everything that he could, and made it perfect to the T. And that person's not going to have anything bad happen to them, right? Wrong. So Job, this entire time throughout the book, has been just getting hammered. His friends are not really great friends, poor comforters, and yet he eventually breaks down. He goes, you know, what did I do? There must have been something that I did to deserve this. And in those moments, we can definitely feel like it, right? We can definitely feel like, you know, I don't know what I did to deserve this. And again, that's our pride speaking. That's our pride speaking. We want what we want, and we want the outcomes that we want. And so Job basically is asking, you know, what did I do, Lord? And this is the Lord's response. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched out the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as it hath issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness of swaddling band for it, and break it up for my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and cause the day springs to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Is it turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment? And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depths? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare it if thou knowest all. And so to those moments where we sit there and we go, what did we do? Why is this happening to me? What is the purpose of all of this? Know that there is a God who is above us, who has a plan. There is a God who is over us, who loves us, who has a plan. And his knowledge is much more than ours. And so you may be sitting there saying, okay, that's great, that's awesome, but how does that help me in the moment? And again, we'll get to that. But know that in those moments where we're questioning and saying, this is not the plan that I had, this isn't what I had desired, the Lord is greater than that. The Lord has a plan, and he is going to put forth what he wants to do. We often have a bigger idea of how valuable, that's the wrong way I want to say it, we often view ourselves as bigger than we actually are. And in terms of the Bible and the gospel, we are not valuable, but we're valued. And the Lord loves us in a sense that we, as humans, aren't inherently precious in any way outside of the fact that the Father does find us precious. In the same way that a child brings a piece of paper with a horrible drawing, really. Somebody with a green mustache and everything else, it's like, here, Dad. In the same way a child does that, that picture is valued, though. That picture is not valuable if you bring it to an auction or something like that. Nobody's going to pay 5 cents for that thing. They're going to crumple it up and throw it out. But to the Father, it's precious. To the Father, it's valued and it's valuable. So know that our Father, yes, he has his plans for us. We have our plans, but he has plans for us, and he values us. We're valued. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 17:20. For those of you who feel like everything's out of control, what's the answer for you? You got big problems? We got a bigger God, okay? We've got a bigger God. 1 Samuel 17:20. And we all know this story. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the carriage of the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champions of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the Israel and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And in this moment, I did not continue on. Regardless, we all know the story after that. But in that moment, right, everybody saw Goliath. Everybody saw the problem, right? And the problem was big, tall, scary, and about to kill whoever decided to go before him. Or that's what they thought. And instead, we have David, who saw the problem, but in his mind and through his faith saw that God was bigger than that problem. And we all know how the story ends after that, right? David goes down, finds smooth stones, challenges him, convinces Saul to let him go, kind of rebukes everybody around him for the lack of faith that they have in the Lord. And what does he do? He takes out the big, scary, tall, ugly problem with a spear. And so, but through the faith that he had in the Lord. So what is the practical application to this? What is, you know, what can we do throughout our day and throughout our life? You know, we talked about how if you're trying to control everything, if you're letting anxiety get you because you're trying to control everything, it's a bit of a pride issue, right? We're trying to make everything turn out into the way that we want it to turn out into. Sometimes our plans are not our own. Sometimes the plans that God has for us is not our plans. And we need to let him take that first seat in our life. Let him do the driving. Let go. That's a big problem for me, big issue for me, is letting go, letting those plans that he has for me go forth. Because again, it can be scary not to know what's happening next. It can be scary to let somebody else take control. How about for those of us who, again, when everything's happening around us, everything is kind of just hitting us, what do we do? It's realizing we have a bigger God than those problems. It's realizing that that same God loves us and that he's going to take care of us. 1 Peter 5-6 says this. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. We need to humble ourselves. That's the first step. Realizing that we are not greater than God. Realizing that the plans that we have set forth are not greater than his plans. We need to humble ourselves. And then you cast your cares upon him. You throw those concerns that you have on him. And in those moments is when you will receive peace, when you realize that this is the same Father who died on the cross for you and the same one who has a plan for you. Again, throw your cares upon him. What about when everything's kind of spiraling around you? What do we do then? Let's turn to Joshua 1:1. Joshua 1:1. And in this moment, Moses has died, and Joshua is taking over. I'm sure he's feeling quite overwhelmed. But Joshua 1:1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that shall I give unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For this unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only thou be strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that was written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And we have a similar promise. If we have that similar promise when we follow after the Lord, that if we keep him in our path, if we follow his path, if we follow his law and his commandments, if we use the blueprint that's here in front of us, then things will turn out and he will guide us. Might not be the results we want, might not be the outcomes that we want, but he will take care of us and he will guide us. Finally, final verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, in those moments where we are feeling stressed, when we are feeling anxious, and we feel like we have no control, because we don't, but when we realize that and it's feeling overwhelming, you know, the best thing that I've found, and I'm hypocritical standing up here telling you how to deal with stress when I don't deal well with it in my own life, but the best way that I've found and that I do is honestly just taking time for prayer, taking time to find just 15 minutes to get alone with the Lord and just throwing your cares before him. You know, taking whatever the problem is, whatever, you know, the big issues, little issues, everybody has them. Everybody at some point will go through something that they don't feel like they can handle. And, you know, teenagers, you might be sitting there like, I got this. I'm good. Okay. Someday, it'll come. And, you know, to that I would say just stick close to the Lord. Stick close to the Lord and be sure to throw your cares upon him. And as the verse said, let your requests be made known unto God, and that peace of God will come upon you. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's a wonderful thing when you're able to experience it. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are a easily riled up people, Lord. We are easily caused to have stress and worries and concern, and it happens so quickly, Lord, and we forget your promises so quickly, and we try to do things in our own might. We try to do things in our own way. We try to do them the way we want to do them, and yet, Lord, you are the one who's in control. Lord, you are the one who is going to direct our paths. You're the one who's going to lead us in good places, Lord. And Lord, we fight you so often. We fight you so often on those things, and Lord, we cause ourselves to be in panics, and we cause ourselves to have just unreasonable amounts of worry and concern, and yet you are always there for us. Lord, I pray that we all here just throw those concerns upon you. I pray that we just rely upon you in everything we do and all the decisions, and Lord, that you might guide our paths in a way that is honoring unto you, Lord, and in a way that we can just truly, truly experience your peace. And Lord, when we go through trials and you cause us to walk through trials, I just pray that again we rely upon you and that our faith is in you and that we might be able to, again, just have comfort as in knowing that you are our God and you have things before us that are known that we can't possibly understand. And so in all these things, Lord, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.